Amen. If you got your Bible, Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Amen. I love the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, I was talking to a man this week. He was wanting to learn. I said, well, I tell you what I did years ago. There's like 31 Proverbs. There's almost 31 days in a lot of months. For several months, one year, I took and studied a chapter of Proverbs. I would read it in the King James. I would read it in other English versions. I would read it in the Hebrew. And I studied the book of Proverbs for months, that one chapter a day. And it literally changed my life. And so anyway, I guess I got Brother Robbie on Proverbs. and it pulled me right back to Proverbs last night or yesterday. Thank the Lord. Proverbs 24 and 16. The Bible said, for a just man, everybody say a just man, falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So the just, if you read the literal translation, it's righteous. A righteous or just man falls seven times and he gets back up. But the wicked, they don't get back up. And he said, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Amen. This is a little work on your heart. Man, don't throw a party when your enemy falls. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. And here's the reason you don't want to do that. It's because the Lord's watching you. The Bible said, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. Amen. Hello. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You've reached Calvary Pentecostal Church. Amen. Praise God. We got to get our phone hooked back up. Somebody remind me to get our phone hooked back up. Amen. Praise God. I miss Clifford calling me every day, all day. Amen. Asking if I got any coffee at the church. Amen. Praise God. I want to preach from the 16th verse, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. Everybody say, he riseth up again. And I want to preach about the comeback. Amen. The comeback. Amen. Set your Bibles down. I need some prayer warriors to help me pray right now. I want you to lift your hands as high as you can to God. I want you to lift up your voice to him. Come on, I got a burden to preach today. Come on, why don't you cry out to him with all your heart? Come on, why don't you join up with somebody next to you? Come on, this may be the most important service of your life. Most important subject of your life. Come on, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I wish you'd let out a cry. Oh, come on, a shout. We're going over. We're not going under. We're above. We're not beneath. I'm coming back. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now in a way of worship, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to preach about, everybody say, the comeback. Amen. One of the greatest challenges that you're going to face in your life is dealing with the fact that you were born with a sin nature. Amen. Especially after your mom and dad telling you you were perfect for the first few years of your life. and then to find out you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Amen. But wisdom will teach you if you will let it. Amen. Anybody that's wise is not full of pride, and they're not self-righteous, and they're not judgmental, looking down upon other people, because they realize I could fall just like they fell. Come on, wisdom. Wisdom, when you see somebody else struggle, it'll make you want to check your own heart. Say, Lord, make sure I don't ever go through that. If there's something I need to change, something I need to do, if I'm not grabbing my own self by the nape of the neck, you grab me by the nape of the neck. Let me know. Amen. That's what wisdom will do. Amen. Wisdom will teach you of what you are capable of doing if God turns his back on you. Amen. I've always said that everybody has got a weakness, and everybody will become something if God lets go of them. Amen. And to think that your weakness is better than somebody else's weakness, that's confusion. Amen. We need to understand, amen, that if we quit praying and we back up on God and we quit doing what we're supposed to do, we're just a couple steps away from disaster in our life. Come on, let wisdom get a hold of you. Let wisdom control your thoughts and your mind today. Amen. I've seen people that would begin to talk about other people's weaknesses and think, I can't believe they fell into that. Well, let me tell you, you've got something you're going to fall into also if you don't do what God wants you to do. Well, hallelujah. I know I've preached this many times, but God's been dealing with me. This is what Paul would say, I find then a law. Everybody say a law. Amen. This ain't just something a few people have a problem with or a curse on a few people. It's on everybody. He said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Amen. Don't tell me you got a problem and nobody else has got a problem. We've all got problems. We've all got flesh. Amen. And there's got to be a day when you make up your mind who's going to drive the bus. Amen. Either my flesh is going to drive the bus or I'm going to let God drive the bus. Come on, let's love Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, it's a law that's in me. He said, for I delight in the law of God. I love to read the Bible. It's inspiring. And amen, I get a lot of stuff out of it. Amen, the inward man loves it. But I see another law in my members. My fingers and my toes and my eyes and my hands. Another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Amen. Then he would go on to say, now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the capital S, Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You can't do right without the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, all the Democrats are thieves. I'm going to tell you, they're all thieves. They're all liars. They're all humanity. Amen. They all need the Holy Ghost. And if they got the Holy Ghost, they'd be like you and me. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, everybody say the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to tell you, there's two laws that are operating in every person in this. If you got the Holy Ghost, there's two laws that are operating. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, there's only one law operating, and you need to get the other one operating. Amen. But if you got the Holy Ghost, there's two things that are warring against you. The law of sin, which you inherited, and the law of the Spirit, which wants to change your inheritance, that wants to change your DNA, that wants to change who you are. Amen. There's another law that's operating. If you let it operate, if you let it work in you, behold, all things will become new. Amen. But you got to let the law of the Spirit. Amen. That's, thank God for everybody who walked to an altar and cried and snot and spoke in tongues. Thank God it happened. But if you think that's going to carry you all the way to the end, you're mixed up, my friend. Amen. If Paul had to speak to the preacher, his son in the gospel, Timothy, Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. What he was saying is, you may even be a preacher, but you better get a prayer life. You may be anointed, but you better get something and stir up that Holy Ghost, because you got another law in you. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for a pastor who taught me how to pray. Hallelujah. Who taught me how to live right. Who taught me how to take the short end of the stick. Oh, it got quiet all of a sudden. Who taught me to take the bad deal if somebody's life is on the line. He told me, don't even do business with people in this church if you can avoid it. That's what he told me. What was he talking about? He was saying a business deal ain't worth you getting crossed up with your brother and one of you being lost, or both of y'all being lost. He said, I'd rather have you on fire for God and love everybody. Hey, there's millions of people you could do business with. That's what he told me. But anyway, praise God. That ain't what I come to preach about. That's just good stuff. Amen. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I want to tell you, the perfect scenario, the perfect life would be to just walk in the Spirit. That's what the Bible said, do walk in the Spirit. Amen. The Bible wants us to walk and live and breathe everything in the Spirit of God every moment of every day. I liked what Bishop Booker said about, I would love to pastor in the garden. I would love to have lived in the garden. Amen. Amen. You only had one thing you couldn't do. Amen. But let me tell you a little secret. We don't live in the garden. We're not in the garden anymore. Hallelujah. We're living in the real world. Everybody say the real world. Amen. If we were separated from negative influences, this would be a whole lot easier to walk in the Spirit. If we were separated, amen, from everybody that wanted to pull us out of church, this would be a whole lot easier to walk in the Spirit. If there was no stress, if there was no bills, if there was no one to offend us, if there was no temptations, this would sure be an easy life. If there were no sicknesses, no diseases, this would sure be an easier life. If there wasn't garbage on billboards every 100 feet, this would sure be an easier life. If every commercial on the radio wasn't garbage, this would sure be an easier life. Hey, man, but it's time we quit asking for an easier life and we start asking God, make me stronger. Make me more powerful. Make me more anointed, God, where I can walk where I need to walk, where I can say what I need to say. Boy, I feel Jesus is going to back me up in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We are not in the garden. We are on planet Earth with 8 billion other sin natures. We are on planet Earth with 8 billion inventors of evil. Oh, hallelujah. It's a tough world out there. And it's getting more wicked and invasive and in your face every day. Amen. This is not the hour for the church to sit down and be timid and scared to tell what we believe. Amen. If they're in your face, I think we ought to at least have enough courage to say the reason I'm holy is because the Bible said to her, my Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. I'm living this life because the Bible told me to. Hallelujah. But daily there are things that are bombarding our minds and attacking us. People letting us down every day. I'm going to tell you, in these last days, if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to learn how to come back from being let down. You're going to have to learn how to come back from being knocked down. You're going to have to learn how to come back from being disappointed. Come on. My Bible said, he that endureth till the end shall be saved. If you're going to endure, that means you got to come back. When life knocks you down, you're going to have to learn how to come back. When the enemy knocks you down, you got to learn how to come back. Hey, man, you're not holding me down. Come on. I know we live in a snowflake world. Amen, but I come to preach the gospel to you. Amen, you got to learn how to deal with the heat if you're going to make it all the way to heaven. You're going to have to learn how to come back from offense and things that come against you. Well, I just feel like he was preaching right at me, trying to make fun of me. There ain't nobody making fun of nobody. Amen, matter of fact, you ought to try to do this sometime and see how many brain waves you got going on. You think one person can know what 150 or 200 people were thinking? No, I don't know what's going on. I've got one thing going through my mind right now, and it's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost ain't saying, well, don't say that because you may hurt that one. Or you can't say it that way. You may offend that one. I wouldn't be able to say anything if I waited to not offend somebody. Amen. But I'm just going to preach what the Lord lays on my heart. Amen. It's time to come back. It's time to come back. Come on, let's praise him right now. Itarabasataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, whatever the comeback is, man, maybe it was huge moral mistakes. Maybe it was blatant sins that you committed, completely backslid. Or maybe you just slacked up on the commitments that you made to God. Not putting God first. You're not praying like you ought to be. Not studying. You're just slipping. Hey, man, when you realize it, you got to learn how to come back. I'm preaching, if you don't learn how to do this, you're not going to make heaven your home. I hate to say it so blunt, but if you don't learn how to come back, hey, man, something's going to get you, my friend, and you got to have enough Holy Ghost gumption about you. Hey, when it happens, I'm going back to that altar. When it's worship time, I'm going back. Help me pray right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many things, amen, cause people to slip. Amen. Many things can cause people to get off track. Amen. I've seen people, just the loss of loved ones, dealing with it. Amen. I've been there. It knocks you backwards. Amen. It messes with your mind. Amen. Health issues and diseases will knock you back. Amen. It'll mess with your mind. When you open that Bible and it said, by his stripes we were healed. And you're sitting there dealing with sickness. Amen. Don't you know you got to learn how to trust God? Amen. If it's God's will, amen, it's going to happen. If God don't want it to happen, you don't want it to happen. Amen. You want God's will. Amen. Don't get mad at God. Amen. If it sets you. Amen. Can I just preach to you a little while? I remember Brother Booker telling me a story sitting at my table a few years ago. And he said there was a lady that had died. And they called me and I went and prayed. And we prayed and cried. Amen. She was in the church full of the Holy Ghost. I prayed for her. And it wasn't very long. She was moving. Then she sat up. She that was dead sat up and began to talk. Wasn't very long, she was walking. Wasn't very long, she was at work. And it wasn't very long after that, she was backslid. It wasn't very long after that, she went off into eternity. Lost. I want God's will. If it's how short my fingernails need to be cut, I want God's will. I've done figured out he knows way better than I know. Hey man, when I pray for people, you know what I'm praying? God, you work out what you want worked out. God, if it would be your will, heal. But all these things can set people back. Amen. Words that people say that are so hurtful and you find out. Amen. Set you back. Especially when it's close to you. Paul said, I've suffered by my own countrymen. And that'll set you back. Make you feel like you failed. Amen. This is what the Lord gave to me to preach. All these things that if you feel like you're failing. Failing requires a comeback. You cannot sit in a state of feeling like a failure and not come back and think you're going to make it. We'll just let that settle in for a while. There's a lot of things in life that'll make you feel like you failed. Failure makes you, it's almost like it puts a wall up, I guess. Maybe a barrier feels like between you and God almost. I'm tell you, failure, it's not for you to just build your house in. Failure requires a comeback. Why does it require a comeback? Because you can't be saved any other way. If you don't get back on track, you'll end up where you don't want to end up. That's why the Bible said, guard your heart. Amen. Keep an eye on what's going on down deep inside. Because out of that are the issues. That's where the beginnings of everything that you do begins, in your heart. And when your heart gets wrong, You'll sit there like a knot on a log, and you'll hate everybody, and you'll blame everybody, and you'll be offended by everybody. And I want to tell you, it's natural to feel like that. I'm not saying something's wrong with you. That's a natural feeling, to feel offended, to feel bothered, to feel hurt, to feel let down, to feel like everybody's against you. That's your nature. Amen. It's to feel like you're all alone. Amen. To feel like you failed at everything you tried to do. But I come to preach a little message to you today. You can't stay there. You can't stay there. It's normal to feel hurt. It's normal, but you can't live there. You can't build your house there. You got to say, I'm coming out of this. I may be down today, but help is on the way. Failure requires a comeback, and a comeback requires somebody with a made-up mind. I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm not staying in this mindset. He may chew me out all day. She may cuss me out all day. Amen, but that ain't who I really am. I'm a child of God, and I'm coming out of this. Come on, help me. Help me. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody say it requires. Failing requires a comeback. You got to learn how to come back from whatever it is. If not, you'll stay on the wrong path the rest of your life. I've watched people die in churches, bitter, hating people. Hallelujah. Can I preach a little while? Amen. We'll have Brother Holmes back again. Amen. We got the bakery going right now. Amen. This is some fresh bread God wanted me to feed this church today. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. The feelings of failure don't make you a failure. Failing don't define you as a failure. Falling does not tattoo you. Failure. Mistakes can't define you as a failure. You control your own dictionary. You control what you're going to be. Amen. Failing can define you as failure if you stay there. If you start agreeing with it. Yeah, I am a mess. I am worthless. I don't deserve to live for God. You're right, devil. Oh, I feel Jesus in this place. Or you can say, no, I made a mistake, but I'm coming back. Let me tell you, I've described this many times in this church. If you ever watch somebody drive down the road, they put their hand on the steering wheel, and you notice how they just keep it straight. No, you haven't noticed that. Only people texting do that and end up in the ditch. This is what you do while you're on a journey. You go like this. Well, you must not be a good driver. No, I am good. Because I know when I need to come back this way a little bit. When you sit there and you just keep on doing the same thing, believing the same lies, listening to the same gossip, going to the same website,
You're heading for a ditch, my friend. Hey, man, you got to get some wisdom about you. And you know, hey, I'm coming back. Hey, I'm going. If God be for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful for this school. This school has been such a blessing. All these young people come in here at 8:30, and I'm usually here when they're here a lot of times. For 15 minutes, I get to walk around and hear them pray. Amen. And then people come all day long, and we've been setting records in prayer. I mean, like not a Monday night prayer meeting, just regular days. There's been days where almost 100 people. Can I say it like this? 99. Show up. Sign in and pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm rejoicing and I'm shouting. But at the same time, I'm a pastor. And the Bible said the shepherd, when he's lost one sheep, amen, he don't sit there and guard the other 99 and say, I hope y'all don't go too. Amen. But there's something in a shepherd that can't help it when there's one name that used to be up there and it ain't up there no more. Come on. Amen. I'm thankful for revival. Amen. But I'm looking for the one that slipped through the cracks. Amen. I'm thankful for almost a brand new church full of people. Amen. But I got to burn for the one that failed and feels like they can't get out of the failure. Amen. I got a message to preach. Hey, it's time for a comeback. It's time to get back to where we were. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 I'm reaching for souls today. I may be preaching to everybody in this building. Amen. We all go through times in our life where we feel like we backed up. Amen. Our sacrifice ain't like it ought to be. I'm preaching this because I know the feeling. Amen. There's sometimes in prayer where I feel like I can't get to the place I want to get to. Amen. And maybe yesterday it was just the sweetest glory of God, the Shekinah glory fill the house. And maybe this day I'm just struggling to even see if I can feel him at all. Hallelujah. What's wrong? There ain't nothing wrong. It may have been something I did. It may have been something I said. There may be something I don't even know about. Amen. But I'm going to come back. I'm not going to say, well, that was yesterday's glory. God don't do that anymore. No, God does do that again. Amen. If I don't feel it today, I'm going to come back. If I don't touch him like I want to, I'm going to come back. Amen. If it wasn't as sweet as I wanted it, I'm going to come back because I know he ain't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know if it ain't right, it ain't him. Amen. Please forgive me. This example I'm about to give you, I've never done this in my life. My daddy, before he got in church, he was an idolater. Amen. He wasn't a drunk. He wasn't an adulterer. He didn't have problems with a lot of stuff, but he was an idolater. His idol was usually a pig. Played ball. And so what I've preached many times is one idolater will raise another idolater. Man, I'm just on that. Man, when you're raising children, man, be careful. Don't make them fight your demons and their demons. Can I say it like that? They're going to have enough problems on their own without you teaching them your problems. But anyway, my daddy was an idolater, and all of his boys were idolaters. I learned how to read by reading the sports page. I would get up early and go out and get the mail or the paper back when they used to have a newspaper. And bring it in. I'd lay on the floor and I'd read the sports page from the front to the back, just a little boy. And matter of fact, I was a spelling bee champion, Westside Elementary. And I beat the principal's daughter. And he wondered how I was so smart. He didn't know. Amen. It's because I read that sports page. I knew every big word there was. Anyway, I remember one day, me and my daddy, I was probably like this. So it had to be 40-something years ago. And we were sitting there watching a football game. And the Pitt Panthers went up 14-0 over Penn State. I was just a boy. I didn't know none of these teams. And my dad said, it was the first quarter, 14-0. Pitt was winning. He said, why don't you pick who you think will win, and I'll pick the other one. So you know what the little boy did. I was going to pick the team that was winning. It was just a fluke. However, they got them 14 points, obviously. I said, I want that one. He said, okay, well, I'll take that one. And I sat there and watched as my team didn't score another point for three more quarters and got beat by about 50 points, I think. And my daddy was laughing. What he did, what he understood, and what I didn't understand was that really Penn State was a whole lot better team than Pitt was. And he knew they were going to make a comeback. The only reason I'm telling this, I hate to even talk about this. I feel like God gave me, reminded me. You think of something 40 years ago? It was probably, it was way back there. Man, my dad knew that one team, Penn State, was so much better than what the scoreboard was showing. Hallelujah. Can I preach a little while? That's what God began to deal with me about. Too many people look at the scoreboard of their life. And they're looking and it looks like I'm losing. I'm going to tell you, there's people in this building, you're way better than the score that your life is showing right now. I feel so much Holy Ghost right now. There are people in this room that if your life had a scoreboard, you would feel like you were being skunked. You ain't got amen? God done spoke to me. Amen. If everybody could see what you see on your scoreboard, matter of fact, it's so bad that some people try to hide it like nothing's wrong. But down deep inside, they've already gave up. Because it looks like it's so bad. I'm going to tell you. It's time. Think about it. My Bible said, greater is he that is in you than what's on the other side of the scoreboard. The visitor that's come to your house to try it. I want to tell you, life can blindside you sometimes. And it looks like they've just wore you out. But you got to know what is inside of you and what you're made of. And you better know who your coach is. And you better get rid of every negative thing that gets in your ear that tells you you are going under. And you better start listening to the one that God gave you. That said, hey, we can well possess the land. Well, did you hear all them other spies? I've heard the spies. I've heard the gossip. I've heard it all. But I've also heard the word of God. I've been hearing this all my life. I was born in church. When I was born in church, they were preaching, we're going to a land that flows with milk and honey. God done gave it to us. It's our promise. Amen. And if it looks like the scoreboard, we're losing. We're not losing. We're about to have a comeback. We're about to show the end. You can't quit while you're losing, though. You got to get the quit out of you. You got to get the reverse out of your transmission. You got to realize who you are if you got the Holy Ghost. You're an heir with Abraham. Come on. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel like preaching. I may be down today, but help is on the way. Amen. Let me, whatever your song is, when you feel like you're losing, will tell me a whole lot about what's going on in your spirit. Well, I guess I'm down. Well, I'll just go find a chair in the back somewhere. They don't love me. No, everybody's. Oh, I wish something would get down in people's spirit. Let me tell you, if God's ever used you one time, God can do it again. If you've ever prayed, felt the power of God, you can do it again. Don't tell me speaking in tongues is a one-time event. Amen, it's a daily event when you get your mind made up. Hey, I'm coming back. I want to tell you, every day of your life, we're living in so much garbage and things of this life. You need to wake up every day with your mind made up. I'm about to come back again. God, you gave me a new day. You gave me a miracle. You woke me up. You put breath in my lungs. I'm about to come back again. I may have failed yesterday. I may have messed up, but I'm coming back. Boy, well, I just want somebody to get enough faith to believe. The original manuscript would say, if you looked at the Hebrew transliteration, it would say, for a righteous man, it says this, shall fall seven times. But he gets back up. He write, it didn't say, I was shocked when I read this yesterday. It said, he shall fall. Like it's already programmed. You're going to make mistakes. So why would you let the enemy of your soul, when God already predicted what was going to happen in your journey, you're going to make a mistake every now and then. You're going to fall every now and then. God's going to sort the sheep and the goats out by this. My people, the righteous ones, aren't going to quit church because they feel like they messed up. My people, the righteous, the just, they're going to get back up. I want this to be in your spirit so deep. Well, he's just trying to pump me up. He knows I ain't trying to pump nobody up. I'm trying to pump the word of God into you. Amen. Let me tell you a little story about a man named Samson that had a Nazarite vow, and they said a razor will not come up on his head. He would walk around throwing men around, picking up gates of the city and carrying them out, tearing up lines by hand, doing all kinds of things. Amen. But he got to playing too close to the edge. Well, Brother Preston preached a good message to these school Friday morning about not getting too close to the edge. Samson got too close. Amen. Finally figured out where strength came from. He made a big mistake. He wrecked a whole lot of stuff. He was the judge of Israel. Now here he is with his eyes gouged out, his head shaved. He's walking around a grinding mill. He's grinding out. They're using him like a mule. Grinding out the wheat and the corn and whatever. And he can't see nothing. Well, Samson, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have done that. Hey, man, we can get all. You knew that. The preacher told you. You know. I got a feeling somebody somewhere was saying, God, I wish you'd touch old Samson. I wish you'd bring him up out of that bondage. Praise God. The Bible said he was grinding at the mill. Then it uses this big word, how be it. Y'all like that? How be it. Everybody say how be it. Wow, y'all know old English. How be it. The hair of his head began to grow again. He was in bondage. He was bound. But he started reverting back to where he got his strength in the first place. His life was a mess, but he started going back to that obedience again. He was in total bondage. He had no hope, according to man. He thought, well, I may just try where I got this strength in the first place from. I'm preaching to somebody. Amen. You didn't get the Holy Ghost by arguing with people online. You got the Holy Ghost because you obeyed the gospel. You repented of your sins. You got baptized in Jesus' name. And God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Here Samson is. His hair begins to grow again. See, they didn't connect the dots. You can't understand the word of God except by the Spirit of God. So they thought, we've already got him. He ain't got no eyes. Just let him grind out there and do what he's doing, and we're gonna have some fresh bread. We're gonna name it Samson Loaves. Amen. They're laughing, they're making fun, mocking him. Amen. And the whole time they're mocking him, he's getting back in alignment with God. Come play something. Give them hope that I may quit after a while. He's just, they can't really see nothing. He's just blind and a slave working. He's getting close to God. And that hair began to grow. I got a feeling as he was doing this, that bar that he was pushing was probably getting lighter. And he probably thought, I know what's happening. I'm just going to play it real cool right here, and I'm going to keep going in circles and let this hair grow out. One of these days, God's going to restore me fully. I can't prove it. We'll ask you when we get to heaven. I believe it got so light. He was just putting his hands on it just as a disguise. One day, found out they were having a party. All the Philistine lords were all gathered together in a big old beautiful building. Big beautiful pillars. I think he'd realize, I've got it. I feel what I used to feel. I feel that same power. Of course he was handicapped. That's what sin does. I'm not saying you'll never... Sin will always leave a mark on you, but you don't have to be lost. He's blind, and he said, come here, boy. Won't you take me to that party? I know I can't see the party, but maybe I'll just listen to the party. But, you know, I can't see, so... And I'm a fall hazard. So if you don't mind... Take me to the party. Put my hands on the pillars that are holding that building up.
What are you doing, Samson? I can't talk about it right now. We're about to have a comeback. Take me. You know, I bet that made their party even better. To see that little boy walk that old long-haired, now again, Samson, into that building. It just reminded them of what their God had done for them. They were poking fun. Look at what Dagon has done for us. This was Israel's Savior. Look at him. He's got to have a little boy to lead him. That little boy takes that man that knows I'm having a comeback. Carries him to the pillars holding up that building. The Bible said when he got his hand on them pillars and he began to push, it wasn't him pushing anymore. That same Spirit of God that came on him. The same God that came on him all of his life. When he pushed them pillars down, the Bible told us he killed more Philistines the last moments of his life than he did all of his life. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a comeback. And the enemy wants to hold people down when you feel like you've made Kikotoposha. You feel like you've made mistakes. I'm telling you, God's rooting for you. God's saying, why don't you come back to what gave you that power to begin with? Why don't you come back to church every day and pray when you were so anointed? I may be preaching to one person. But I think 100+. That God's saying, it's time for a comeback. It's time for you to be able to pray as freely as you did the night you got the Holy Ghost. It's time for the gifts that you had to begin to operate again. Well, I used to could say this or say that, and I helped. I feel God. I want to tell you, you've got to have a comeback. This ain't I want you to have one. This is, we got to. My prayer, God, don't let one more day, don't let one more altar call go by without the people of this church having a comeback. What would prayer be tonight at 5:30 if everybody in this building made a commitment right now? Coming back. I'm finished. I feel like God's done what God's going to do. You can respond or you can go home. It don't matter. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Come on, it don't take a whole lot. Ula kata dabo. Come on. Come on. Come on, if you feel like you're in a rut, it's time to crawl out of it. Come on, if you feel like you've been stomped in the dirt, it's time to come out of it. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, prayer warriors. Korala, ya, ya, ya. La la, yela. Come on. Come on, it takes faith to have a comeback. Come on, you got to let your faith be restored. God, I believe. God, I believe you're able. God, I will. Take me back, God. Hurrah. In the name of Jesus. God, help me work through this hurt. Help me work through this pain, God. Help me work through this trial. I'm coming back. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed. I'm going to seek your face. Oh, I'm going to. Oh.